Hello, listeners. Welcome back to On the Block. I'm your host, Madison McGee, and I am just in my feels about how much I love doing this podcast and hanging out with some of our favorites from reality TV. This week, we have Jessica Milagros from Big Brother 21 and her own show, Girl, Let's Agree to Disagree, where she dives into all things reality TV. If you haven't checked it out, you definitely should. The link is in the show notes, and we just really get into the raw emotion of Big Brother, and I just really loved having this deep conversation with Jess. If you like this episode, please, please, please leave us a little review, rate, subscribe, all the things. Share it with a friend or tag me on social. This show is only possible because of you. Here is my interview with Jessica Milagros.
Gosh, thanks for doing this.
Of course.
Wow, this is so exciting. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm so sorry. I was just like running everywhere. Today has been like soccer mom day. So it's like, oh, gotta get my kid from school. Oh, gotta make them food before I get on this call.
I love it. Like, I love it. You wear so many different hats. It's wild. I'm like actually very impressed because I could not. I mean, you do so much, which I want to talk more about, but yeah, I mean, we could just honestly dive right in. Oh, so sure. You do a ton of things. So you like are an influencer, you do some modeling, you have a podcast, like what, you're a mom, like what are you not doing? I guess is the better question.
Sleeping probably.
Truly, truly.
Yeah. Yo, well, you know what? When you say it like that, I feel like, oh, maybe I am doing a lot. And then other times I'm just like, I don't feel like I'm doing enough. So, I mean, I honestly think that had I maybe, I don't know, maybe if I didn't have so much like attention deficit, like, I mean, I'm not, well, I'm self-diagnosed, but I'm pretty sure. I mean, like Latinos, we never get diagnosed. It's that's like a thing. So
yeah.
I'm pretty sure, you know, from several different places that I have attention deficit. And I was like, I don't know how I do things sometimes because I see squirrels every day. Like,
oh my gosh,
I do all of these projects and then I just kind of half-ass them and then I pick it up later.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I am kind of all over the place and nowhere all at the same time. I think that's, and I feel like a lot of people feel that way.
No, you know, I definitely relate to that.
Yeah. You're just kind of doing everything, but then you're like, I'm doing nothing, but I'm doing something, you know? So sometimes my projects like take maybe a year for them to be into fruition. And then other times, you know, I get them done in a few hours, which is really, it's really weird. But since, you know, since Big Brother, I feel like it's definitely calmed down. And that could have just be more pandemic wise, you know, just having to sit down and be just with yourself and really kind of look within and change things that you probably may have not seen, or I know that I wouldn't have seen had I had the whole, you know, country shut down. So
yeah, that's actually so interesting because you were on the show, like, and then
right,
like
before,
there, you didn't even have a whole year before,
not even,
it was everything closed.
Yeah, we got out in like right beginning, like right at the end of September. I'm like October, I was still in Los Angeles, like beginning of October. And yeah, and then the country shut down that March.
Wow.
So it was, I was still in therapy.
Yeah. You're like, and now we have more to talk about.
Yeah, talk about being isolated and just sequestered from like life. And I went straight back into another shutdown. So it was like, it was really, interesting and tough. And it was hard because, you know, like you said before, I mean, my main source of income was modeling. So I was a full-time model. I was working for brands. Yeah, I was working for Target, JCPenney, Kohl's. Like, there was like a lot of stuff I was doing. And I kind of let all of that go to Big Brother. And one of the things you never know, when your next gig is going to be, because it's like they like you for a certain amount of time and then they find a new girl and then they use her for a while. They come back to you. They do, you know, and it's kind of like a back and forth. Yeah. And I was just starting, I want to say like December, starting to go back to work, and then everything shut down. And so the pandemic hit the retail industry hard. You know, there were all the sets had shut down. They weren't using models. They weren't really doing much of that. So that was a very hard transition.
Yeah. That's so interesting too, because I mean, you briefly mentioned like you're in therapy from Big Brother, which is, you know, its own conversations we had, but like mentally being out of work, not really getting back to normal life, like that had to have been really challenging. Were there any specific things that you did to kind of like help facilitate your life during that time?
I don't know if there was anything that really helped. I could only say that I think time helps. There's something to be said about coming right out of a situation like Big Brother, regardless if your experience was positive or negative, right? Even people that I talk to now that have had insanely positive feedback, and you know, something like season 20, you know, like season 23, which was a very loved season. You know, some of them still have, you know, this kind of like trauma, because what you're experiencing is kind of like real life, but it's not, but it is, you know? Yeah. So you're still trying to decipher, like, was this relationship real? Is my relationship with you that I developed in a house real? Was this just a game? Like, and you take it back to your real life. And in some cases you start to question people in your life and their motives, and if they're talking behind your back, and if they're, you know, like, so it is a very, and I don't know if people really understand that feeling, or it's the only way that I could, explain it for somebody. It's like taking a relationship that you thought was just like so amazing and getting stabbed, you know, getting stabbed in the heart. And while some people don't play like that, everybody says, oh, it's just a game. Let's get real. The relationships are real. And if you're deciding that you're going to get someone out, it's more than likely because you don't get along with them. You know, let's not talk about, oh, this isn't like, it's nothing personal. And it's like, but it is personal because I don't like you. So that's kind of a personal decision, right? And if you're not good for my game because I don't trust you because I don't like you, well, that's still kind of personal, right?
Oh, yeah. So
people don't ever really look at it that way, which always surprises me. And that kind of like, it kind of trickles into your real life because you're still bonded and trauma bonded, you know, with these people for a very, very long time. And, you know, some people decide to kind of get out of that, you know, and never see Big Brother ever again and never watch an episode and not get involved with, you know, with the fandom or the game ever again. And there's other people, I guess like myself, that like just kind of throws them back in, you know, throws themselves back in.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. And that's such an interesting perspective too, because you know, you really like to think as a fan, at least, oh, it's game is game, is personal is personal, but it makes sense what you're saying. Like it really is like at some layer personal.
Absolutely.
I think back to something that I loved you on your season, just because you I mean, your personality, obviously, you're just such like a real person. And I just love that about you. But something that like at the very end, I had a lot of respect for was your finale night vote. You voted for Holly to win, which I think is just fantastic. But thinking back on that, that was probably a little bit of a personal decision.
Yeah. But you know what? That's another interesting take on it, because there are no rules to Big Brother. So the way you play is, I mean, you have to understand that someone may play a personal game and others may not. And it's still a bad gameplay if you know that that person is playing a personal game and you still kind of treat them to the point where they're going to feel that you don't deserve their vote. Yeah. That's still a game move, right? So, yeah. And looking back at it, no, I really stick by my decision. I don't think Mickey deserved to win that money. Because to me, the game was not about how many comps you win, you know, and I knew that, I mean, Hot Topic, like I do believe that he was, you know, not deserving because of said help that he might have gotten, you know, in a lot of different situations. Not to say like who or what, or, you know, or blame this just, you know, on CBS or anything like that, because that's not the point. I just don't believe that he got there by himself. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a lot of things, and then coming out of the house that I saw, that I knew and could not prove and saw on actual live feeds, it made me feel even better about my decision to not give it to him, because I knew that Holly, even though it might not have been people's, some people may have not seen her gameplay as like a winner's gameplay, but being in that house and knowing how difficult it was to manage someone like Jackson, and her being around the craziness and her just, you know, keeping so much to herself and not being ever nominated, you know, or being put on the block and winning her own HOHs, throwing HOHs, because she did throw HOHs. Like, we had all of this information, and I think her gameplay was just as good. His was just flashier and just more more aggressive in that sense. And there were more men that got along with, you know, with Mickey than they did Holly in that house. And a lot of the women that were in there didn't care for Holly either. So that was just as much of a personal choice for them than it was for me to not, you know, to not choose.
No, that is so interesting. And it's funny doing this podcast, I've learned so much about just the ins and outs of what it's really like and how decisions are made. And it's been so fascinating because, like you said, there really is no rule book to this game. There is no, oh, they voted this way and that's wrong. Like, everyone votes the way that they vote, and there's no right or wrong, or because there's no rules. It's, you know, if someone rubbed you the wrong way, then that could be bad gameplay. I think I talked with Elena about this, where she said anything you do in that house could be good or bad. You could spin it any way you want at the end, in your speech, whatever. And kind of what you're saying, it's so interesting because it's kind of true. It's like all bets are off, which is so fascinating to me as a viewer, because we just kind of like write this narrative in our head of, well, they're a good Big Brother player, or, oh, they're really good at the game. But like, we don't even really know what that means. Like, we don't know what that means. Yeah. So that's whoever so gets interesting. The most
airtime, maybe, I don't know. But like a lot of, it's weird because, you know, there are people who would praise me for the things that I did. I was very straightforward. I was very, I knew what was going on, but I didn't feel like I needed to really play up. And that just wasn't my gameplay, you know. And some people really liked that about me. And other people said that I was like the worst Big Brother player in history. And it's like, I don't know about that. Like, but who's to say, right? Like, yeah. Like who's crowning this said, you know, worst player, best player, people who have never played the game, people who, you know, like, where does this come from? So it's just one of those things where it's like, oh, you kind of have to take it, you know, with a grain of salt.
Yeah. So when you left, it's kind of interesting. I mean, we're seeing this now with BB23, this like whole world of opportunities kind of opens up to you, and you had already kind of experienced that because you were modeling for like really big names. But what was that like getting out? And then all of a sudden it's like, famous, if that's the right word.
Yeah. I would still never say famous, because obviously there's a lot of people who like, they're like, who is she? What? But I get what you're saying. And yeah, I think that before Big Brother, I had, I was well known within my industry, you know, because, you follow people who have been working. I had been in a couple of magazines prior to that. I had walked Fashion Week. There were some people who knew who I was. You know, I think I started with like 25,000 followers when I was on Big Brother, which was kind of like very close to some of the highest numbers. If not like, yeah, there was only a few. I think Kat had more than me and Holly had four more than me. But other than that, everybody was just kind of, you know, not say like Instagram, like, you know, they weren't Instagram influencers. They weren't anything of the sort. So that's kind of like how I went in as a model, as an influencer. You know, I had also had my own bathing suit line with JCPenney. So at that point, you know, my stuff was even getting sold at stores. Yeah. So, you know, there was a certain amount of that experience that I had gotten. When I came out, though, there was just like a little bit of a different experience with the fandom, because a lot of people might know that, you know, some stands are good and others are really, really bad, depending on like who you deal with. So I wasn't very used to people messaging me and constantly like asking me, how did you feel about this? How did you feel about that? Like, what was your experience doing this, that, and the other? And it was just like hundreds at once. And it was very overwhelming. And just as many people that were saying, oh my gosh, you were an inspiration and I loved you, there were other people that say, eat shit and die. Like, you know, you didn't do anything. You were pointless. It was pointless for you to even be on the show, you know? And I had never gotten that type of a reaction from a person. And of course, like, I'm in the body positive space. I'm a plus size model. So I have dealt with trolls, you know, that just say random comments on pictures, but this type of, you know, fandom was just, it's very, very different. And it has everything to do with who you kind of get along with in the house, like who, you know, you talk about, because then you're talking about other people's stands that kind of go hard after you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then every single thing that you do, because everything is recorded, because live feeds are, you know, things are forever pretty much. Everything kind of gets looked at through a microscope. And so with no context, with no follow-up, you say one thing and it can make or break you. So yeah.
Oh, that's a hard part. Yeah, that's really hard. I mean, especially because it's like, there might be things that people are messaging you about because you were in the jury house that happened so long ago. You're like, wait, what? I don't even remember that, because in their mind, it's this like monumental moment. And for you, it's like something you said one time forever ago. And like,
yeah,
that's really hard for me to wrap my brain around because I've never experienced that. But I think about that a lot with like this year, there are things that people bring up that happened like the first week in the house. And I'm like, I don't even remember. Like,
yeah,
who said that?
And that's like, this is, you know, those, I don't know, maybe your first impressions or first week impressions, second week impressions after 99 days and you getting to know this person, those are very two different things, you know? So to still be getting the type of criticism for what you did in the first week, that to me is just very, very insane.
Yeah. Wow.
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. And you're kind of in this wave too of like, I feel like Big Brother, you know, 5 years ago is totally different than like what it is now because of social media and like Twitter and like all of these things kind of, they were around then, but it's so different now. I feel like people are just like always, always on and posting and sharing, and it never goes away
because the thing is that the relationships are still exist or don't exist, right? So past arguments, past beef, past controversy, it can always happen. And it's kind of wild like that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. So now you have this show, podcast, Girl, Let's Agree to Disagree.
Yes.
Which is fantastic. And you cover like a lot of different things, which I like. You know, you talk about Big Brother when that's on, Survivor when that's on, Bachelor, Bachelorette, like you're covering all of the things. What sparked the inspo to like start the show?
Oh gosh. So, I would probably say, my love for the game, but in a way that the whole idea was coming out of Big Brother. One of the things that was the hardest for me, I think, was to come back out and get the criticism that I got for my gameplay. Like they could have called me anything personally, you know, they could have been like fat cow, they could have called me a pig, they could have said anything personally about me, but I think I was most hurt with the gameplay aspect because I do have and still remain like to have like this genuine love for the game. I consider myself while not like a super hardcore, you know, super fan, I considered myself a gamer girl, you know, and like I loved watching, you know, Survivor and Big Brother and Amazing Race and reality shows, like competitive reality shows, you know, and I play video games, and it's kind of weird, like going from that to going into Big Brother and it not translating. Mm-hmm. But I love the game. And so that's kind of how it transpired, the podcast, because I wanted to keep on talking about game. I wanted to create my own experience with it. And so the only person that I really had to talk to about the game was, crazy enough, was Kemi from my season. And we, although we had very different experiences, I think that we kind of bonded on a majority of the things that happened in the house, and we saw similarly but very differently as well. And like we would argue a lot over the phone, and we would, you know, we would go through our process, and you know, I think we were both each other's kind of therapy in a lot of ways, to see things in very, very different ways. And I think that one of the healthiest things between her and I is that when we don't agree, we always say, okay, girl, agree to disagree. We're not going to lose our friendship over this. This is not like, you know, I take it. I understand. I might not understand it, but I'll take it. And I know that that's your experience. I want to learn from it. And I think that that's where it kind of grew from there. And I just said, you know what, we should have a podcast. And you know, she wasn't too thrilled about it at first, you know, and rightfully so. You know, she definitely had a different experience than myself, and even though mine was trauma, like I had trauma of a different sort, I thought, well, you know, we could definitely use this to our advantage. And I think that we kind of both used it kind of as a stepping stone to therapy, or, you know, to just be able to talk about it. And yeah, and that's how it basically started. And then, you know, we love Hannah. Hannah, obviously we met Hannah through Ovi, who was also a part of our season. And we knew that she was also, you know, she studied political science. She was a political science major. And so we knew she had also feelings about our season, and not just our season, but the game in general from a different perspective, because she saw it from a family or relative.
Yeah.
The outside in, you know, so we kind of wanted those different perspectives. We wanted the perspective of a person who's playing the, who had played the game, in different levels, you know, who were, who maybe was not white, you know, that could talk about, you know, experiences from people of, from Black people and people of color, you know, and also that white experience. And it just so happened to be that she was on the outside looking in as well, because she had a loved one. And how did that affect, how does that affect other people who are watching the game?
You know, I love that.
That was kind of like what we were aiming for. And then it just grew. And so we, you know, we had started with BB22, then we did the challenge, then Bachelorette. And so now we're doing Bachelorette. We're going to pick up, you know, I go on different podcasts to talk about Survivor. So does Kemi. And I think that in this next year, we're going to pick up a couple of more a couple more seasons. We'll be doing Celebrity Big Brother. We'll do Survivor 42. 42. I'm like, there's so many seasons.
So many seasons.
You know, hopefully Amazing Race, maybe Bachelorette again. I don't know. Like, sky's the limit. And so we brought some people in as well to co-host. And, you know, we have a lot of people that come on the show, you know, just to talk game.
I love that. That's so fun. It's cool because, like you said, you have these unique perspectives that can kind of like shed light on what could be happening in people's heads, as you know, you're not on this, like the current seasons you talk about, but like what Absolutely. Maybe they're experiencing and things like that, which is really, really cool. So what else are you up to right now? Do you have anything that you can like share that you're working on?
You know, it's same right now. It's just, you know, I still do a little bit of the modeling. Not as much, as obviously that's a lot of travel. So it takes a lot to work with a brand. It's been a little intense. So every so often I do my modeling. It's a lot more influencer, you know, heavy. We're trying to do more for the podcast. So the podcast is really the meat and potatoes of it. Like we're wanting to kind of work on that, kind of digging myself into seeing if I should become a gamer girl. Like I opened up my Twitch, but I'm just kind of like, am I gonna show people how, you know, how I play and, you know, what I do? Do I want to like really go that far? It's a little hard to let people back in once you get your privacy back. So it has been kind of a weird transition. And really trying to figure out if I, there were a couple of there is one project that I can't talk about, because it's still kind of up in the air, whether you may or may not see me on screen again, but that would be different. It's kind of just, I don't know. I'm just trying to navigate everything in terms of, you know, being a mother and being there for my daughter again, and just kind of being very present as she kind of navigates through her high school years. And then, also kind of seeing, am I going to take this like a step up, and do I want to, you know, create a brand, and that just has been a little difficult.
It's
been a little difficult because especially with the pandemic, because it's kind of like, do I want to start something that's going to get shut down? Do you want to start something that is, you know, it's so up in the air. So right now, I know this sounds so horrible. I'm like, wait, I feel like I'm beating around the bush with certain things.
No, that's okay. It makes it more exciting, I think.
I know. I just like, I want to be able to say stuff, but then I was like, oh, if it falls through because, you know, pandemic stuff, like what totally. Happens? Is it going to go through? But if what we planned go through will go through, then everything will go through, because it's kind of one of those, it's kind of that stepping stone. It's just like the one green light will
open all the doors.
Yeah. We'll open all the doors. Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like you got that skeleton key that opens up all these doors, but it's not, I don't have the right skeleton key yet. So okay.
Well, we're
excited. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, we'll keep watching and waiting. That's very exciting. Yeah. No, that was the perfect amount, I feel like, to get everyone like, oh, okay. no, I love it though. Are there any people besides, like, obviously you mentioned Kemi, that you're like really close to from your cast in particular?
You know what? Aside from Kemi, I would probably say the next closest person would be Kat, and it would be Kat and Ovi. You know, those two, like they're family to me. It's just like whatever they need, whatever they want, they got that unconditionally. Everybody else, I feel like I could be cordial with. I think that there's some people, of course, that I would never want to see a day in my life. Hopefully that never happens, but it's almost impossible, because if they stay, you know, it's almost near impossible. Yeah. But, you know, I really do try to keep it as cordial as possible. I hate that about myself. Like, I really wish that I had a little bit more. No, I mean, I do have a little bit of drama, but I would never like really do that in public. I think like that's one of the things, like I could never be on Bad Girls Club, you know, because it's just, I sometimes act like I should be on Bad Girls Club, but it's literally when I know that there is nobody watching.
Yeah.
You know, that's horrible for me to say, but.
Yeah, that's so funny. I love that. Maybe that's like the show nobody, you're gonna be on.
Nobody would ever catch me doing that shit. No, I mean, it's definitely not Bad Girls Club. I could promise you that.
You can check that off.
Not that bad. Would never, never, never happen. I'm definitely not open enough with my bad girlness to say that I'm an official bad girl. Okay. But I mean, if there were no cameras and you stuck me in with a bad girl, like, you know, I could give them a run for their money.
Like, I like that. I feel like that's like the healthy way to be.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know what healthy is anymore. So
that is so funny. It's crazy how, like, I don't know, it's just like your perspective on life can change from like being on a show. Oh, yeah. It's just really interesting to me. I feel like I've seen this a lot with people I've interviewed where a lot of the things that they say are like, oh, well, a lot of like, there's cameras all around, and they have this feeling people are always watching, and it's sort of this like remnant of from being on the show, or like that you are always being watched, and like, mm-hmm. I don't know, it just seems so interesting. Is there anything that like you do now that's like still from like, you know, 3 years ago where you're like, oh, I still do this thing that like I did on the show that like I shouldn't do anymore, like I'm not being watched, or
I think, yes, actually it has been more about being, I'm a lot more reserved. And I think that before I wasn't, a lot of my friends and family would probably agree, because when I came out, they're just like, who the hell were you in the house? And what the hell did we see? Like, that was not you. And I could promise you that if you watch live feeds, there were snippets of me. that you would see, but I definitely was not me in the house. And I mean, obviously it was a game, you know, so there was a lot of people that that irked me and that I didn't want to get thrown out of the house. I didn't want, you know, something to be, I know that being on camera, like it's forever, right? So even my mistakes would be forever. I'm too old for that. Like I, as much as I don't present, I am a very well-aged woman to know that whatever I say, I cannot take back, you know? And that was for me, something that I knew coming in. Now, without cameras, you know, I would say whatever the hell I want. There was any, you know, like I had people that I loved, that I trusted, that they would never judge me because they've known me for that amount of time. And, you know, when you're on a game or like a show like this, nobody knows you. So they don't know how sarcastic you are, how serious you are with that comment. Like if you really meant it, if you really hate them, if you really don't like, you know, like they don't know anything. They just know by what is said and maybe the context, a very loose context of what it is, because sometimes you even miss why they said it. It could be like, oh, she randomly said this, and it's not very random. It could have been something that was discussed in the HOH room when we were in lockdown, or, you know, a time that that the feeds were off, or in a different room that people didn't watch, or that wasn't being played. So to say that, you know, I was very, very aware of not saying anything too dramatic, too crazy, too over the top, to where people would be like, what is this girl's problem? Because I'm a very sarcastic person. And I say, like, sometimes I'm so sarcastic that people, they're just like, was she serious? Like, what the hell? And I mean, some people love that about me and some people hate that about me, but I was just like, let me not say anything. I'm not going to say this, you know, out loud. And then it kind of transferred in the house for me to, I just was very quiet. And my husband kept asking me, are you okay? Like, why aren't you saying anything? And it looks like you want to say something, but you're not expressing yourself. And it's like, oh, sorry. I just, you know,
wow. Yeah.
I wasn't even realizing that I wasn't stating my opinion anymore because I was just so quiet by myself for so long, 99 days to be in your own thoughts and to not have someone that you could confide in like that. Like it really takes a toll on you. Like, I don't even know. And I couldn't compare it. I've never been, but you know, some people even would compare it to some sort of like, you know, jail experience. You know, you're just not used to, you become socially awkward. You don't understand the social cues. You don't, you put yourself in a completely different situation because you're just fending for yourself, really. And it's a very weird feeling. So I think coming out, that was one of the things coming out that I really needed to adjust myself to, like talking to myself again, you know, being able to, cause I've never been a self-talker, you know, like talking to yourself, talking in the mirror, talking, you know, I never really felt that comfortable with it, but, that really, I just stopped talking in general.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've become so fascinated cause I've loved this show for, I don't know, a long time, but I've never done this type of like work where I'm like really diving in and talking with people. Mm-hmm. And it's really opened my eyes to like this whole side of it that even as a producer, I thought, oh, I can kind of see where like this is manipulated or this is whatever. But like, even just hearing your perspective and other people's, it's like, there's so much more to this.
Oh, there's so much. Yeah. I mean, and I, I completely understand your fascination with it, because it fascinates me to a certain extent, to obviously to a point where I wanted to podcast and get to understand a person's feelings and of gameplay, because my podcast isn't even really about the gameplay per se, but the individual relationships that go on within the house and like how people may or may not be feeling while they're in that house and why are they doing that? What you might not be catching as a person who didn't play the game, not necessarily the gameplay, because there's a ton of podcasts that can, you know, can reiterate gameplay for you and whether that was a good gameplay or whether it was bad gameplay, and to who's to say that that was good or bad gameplay, because you've never played the game. So how would you know if you're not just comparing it to another person that played, but that other person also played with different people who had different relationships in the house, because what you're not seeing in the house is the energy, like the unspoken, the unspoken energy, the weirdness or this feeling of wanting to 1000% trust a person, you know, with or 1000% not trust a person, you know, it's like that feeling. And I would always tell people, it's like that feeling when you go and you meet someone, and your friend is introducing you to somebody, and you're like, well, what do you think? You're like, I don't like her. And it's like, but why? It's like, I don't know, because I just don't like her.
Yeah.
You know, but she didn't do anything to you. And it's
like some vibe.
But it was a vibe. It was a feeling. It was a vibe. Like, I just don't vibe with you. You know, those things are real. And I don't understand why podcasts don't dive deeper into the I don't vibe with you aspect. Yeah. Because they're like, how can they not do this? How did they not do? All they had to do was talk to this person, and then that person would have talked to this person. And it's like, would they? Because that's not the vibe. Are you not catching the vibe when you're watching these damn episodes? Do you not see it? And it's like, no, they don't see it. Nobody understood the bond that I had with Christy. Everybody was like, this girl, like, you know, her gameplay, whatever, she's tricking you, she's doing this, you know, like, don't trust her. In my opinion, and I will still say it to this day, Christy was never like bad for my game. Like, she, you know, there was nothing that she ever did personally. I didn't see anything where she, you know, she went along with what people said. If they wanted to get rid of me, that she'd be like, sure, whatever. But did it actually ever happen? No. Did she actually ever say my name, like, it's time to get rid of Jessica? Like, no. Like, there was an unspoken bond that I had, and it happened before. Like, a lot of people wouldn't even understand this. The bond that I had with Christy was actually before we even stepped into the house, because we came into the same lot together. And so when you're behind the scenes and you're waiting to get called on stage, and there's a person right next to you, there's people right next to you, you remember the people. You remember the people that you walk in with, right? And I remember Christy being right next to me, and she was crying. She's crying. And I was like, oh my God, this girl. Like, right. So typical.
You're not even there yet.
You were not even there yet. And she was crying, which is like Menda. She's just like that emotional of a person. And I was like, oh my God, she's like crying. And I really want to cry, but I'm not trying to cry. I'm not going to look at this girl. And I just kind of looked at her, and the PAs would look at us, and they're like, no words, don't talk. Like, you can't talk to anybody. So you're just standing there next to strangers, and you're like, no words, no talk, no man. You can't say a word. You can't say a word.
Oh my gosh.
And we're just there waiting to be put up on stage. And so that was my first interaction with her. So when we came into the house, that was the first thing.
I'd be the one crying.
Yes. That was the first thing that we connected on. And we're like, oh my God, I wanted to hug you so bad. And I'm so sorry. And I totally felt the way you're feeling right now. And she's like, oh my God. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. And then we like said, oh my God. And you're Libra. Oh, I'm a Libra too. And you're spiritual. And oh, I love, you know, a spirituality too. I'm all about manifesting and blah, 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 blah. Oh, me too. Books, this, that, and the other. all shit that nobody fucking sees. Nobody sees. And so that becomes kind of like a tight bond, something that you can connect with. And you're like, I get a good vibe from her. Yeah. Like, regardless of how she's playing the game and what she's doing to other people, she's not doing that to me. Like, I don't feel that way with her. And a lot of people didn't understand that. And they were expecting my bond like that to be with someone like Nicole Anthony. And people are like, why didn't you have that relationship with Nicole Anthony? And it's like, because she's also she came in so very young, so naive. Like, this was her first time on a plane. She was so trustworthy of absolutely everybody. Like, she was telling everybody's business. And it was just, and I didn't know what was real and what was not. And like, I couldn't put my trust in that. Yeah. You know, but other people were like, well, that was bad gameplay. And it's like, no, it's total vibe. Yeah. And that's what people are doing. They're playing the game based on a vibe and how much you trust that person or don't trust that person.
Oh, and the reason that's so true. Behind
it. And it's just so fascinating. I think I hold relationships very near and dear, which is, I think, why maybe in some weird way, like, you know, personally, like, the game kind of messed with me a little bit, because I kind of went in thinking I'm going to be friends with everybody. Everything's going to be good. And you kind of start to develop those, like, you're really cool as hell type of vibes with people. And then that shit happens, you know, and then the backstabbing and the manipulation all that stuff.
Yeah, so, no, that's nuts. I mean, I was talking about that with Braden last week, where he's like, yeah, I mean, you're like crushing people's dreams. Like, they want to win this show, or they want to win this money to do whatever they want to do with it. And it's like, you're crushing their dreams. And then you expect like the finale to happen. And then you're just all friends. It's like, that's weird in any circumstance. That's strange.
And I'm sorry, but you kind of have to like raise an eyebrow for the people who just like automatically are just A-okay with it. You know what I mean? Because that's not how I play. Like, I am me. Like, if I don't like you, more than likely this mug is going to show you that I don't like you. Right. You saw the live feeds. If you saw the episodes, like, my face, like, you would tell me and I'm like, huh? And I'm like, and I'd be like, and I'm like, like, I could not keep this face in check. So if like, I just sometimes am so amazed at sometimes where like, bitch, should you not just say this? And how the hell are you best friends with this person? Like, you literally just said that you hated them, like, in the jury house, and here you are like taking pictures with them. Like, what the hell is going on?
Like, are you okay up here? Like, what's
and
wild.
And it really messed with me. Cause I'm just like, damn, these are some fake ass, you know, performative ass people. And so it took me some time to kind of like rule who those people were. And who I feel are like the most genuine.
Yeah.
And yeah, unfortunately, it's not like a season of 23 where the worst thing that could have ever happened was that they were put on the block. You know, that's not what I was dealing with here. You know, like,
you're dealing with like real shit.
You know, I think when I got out of the house, it was more, my connection was with James Rhyne, and I was just like, you know, totally in awe with him, because he was just so down. He was just so down to earth. And I loved All Stars.
Yeah.
And Six too. But the thing was, is he put my husband to the side, and he's like, just know that she's going to be talking about this for the rest of her life. And I started laughing because I thought he was joking. And he's like, no, we all do. This is just it's something that you are going to have to deal with, even if you decide to disassociate yourself with the show in general, like with everything.
Yeah.
You're still going to be talking. There's always going to be some story that you're going to relate to it. There's, you know, it's what happens, you know? And so I'm like, oh, that sucks.
But that's cool, because you're like embracing that, and you're just like, fine, I'll just talk about it.
But now I'm embracing it because I've gotten to know enough people outside of my season to really make it my own type of family, because you find familiars coming out of the house. I felt really bad. And then actually Rockstar was the first person who, who I spoke with 3 hours outside of the house, 3 hours over the phone with Rockstar. And she made me feel like, I mean, I remember crying. I was like, I'm not crazy. Cause I thought I was crazy. I thought I was like, everybody gets along. Everybody like, so, like everybody's getting along. I can't stand these people. I don't know what the hell's going on. Like I'm getting, you know, I'm getting all of these videos from these clips of people talking shit about me, talking shit about other people. Like it's just like all of this negative attention. And then, so you're just kind of going into it and you're like, what the hell's going on? And I was just like, I can't stand any of these people. And everybody, and at this point, six shooters were, they were doing cross country, you know, shoots together, talking about, we love each other as a family. And, you know, all of this and all of that, we were doing meet and greets where I would see half of these people. And it was just like, is this person going to be there? Because if this person's going to be there, like, I don't want to go, you know. Yeah. It was kind of those things just to kind of save your, you know, that personal, just keep those boundaries, you know?
Yeah. Oh, and my gosh.
That I thought I was crazy for feeling that way. I thought it was invalid. I thought I was major bitch for just like not believing this, you know? Not believing what people were saying to me. And I mean, later on, we find out that a lot of that shit was performative. A lot of that shit was not like, it made me feel better about myself, you know, for knowing that it was more intuitive of what I was feeling. But during those first few months, that was rough. It was rough for me. And it was just like, man, I really wish I had never been on this show ever. You know, that's how much I like, how bad I felt my experience was. And just living my experience and then watching Kemi's experience and then also being a sounding board for what she was going through at some of these points, it was just like, wow, this is really, really rough.
So you're in Chicago now. That's where you live.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. So you have hung out quite extensively, I would say, with BB23. You hung out with Hannah in Chicago.
Yes.
And then you were in Philly when they were all in Philly.
Yes, I was.
And then you did all of your interviews, of course, but what was that like hanging out with BB23?
It's a very interesting experience coming from, you know, a very, very different season. I mean, they're literally quite opposite. It's like night and day. Opposite. Yes. It's the most, it's the extreme opposite of my season.
Yeah.
So it was very weird to watch, very, but also very enlightening, and it gave me hope, you know, in saying, okay, maybe, you know, my season, it was just a few bad apples that just kind of really messed things up, and it's not like that. I mean, there's similarities, don't get me wrong, even though like Big Brother, even though every Big Brother season is going to have the drama, is going to have, you know, people that may or may not like each other, that, you know, kind of bump heads. There may be, they'll play it up for a little bit, you know, for the cameras,
just
to not create any more drama. And, you know, in a year or two, they'll drop off and they'll never talk to each other again. I'm sure that would happen in any season. But it was very nice to see, so many, I mean, they just really, a lot of them really do enjoy each other's company. I was just sat down and I was, an observer of sorts, you know, just, I really just love the camaraderie. And they're fun people. And a lot of them they're so sweet.
Yeah.
A lot of them are very sweet. And it was just a nice time to see them and to see them enjoy themselves and be loved, you know, Because they got a lot of love for in that season.
Yeah.
So it was really nice to see it and to see so many people of color just, you know, together and enjoying what I thought my Big Brother experience would be like. Because it was like, oh, okay. So it's
oh, this is what season. It could have been.
This is what it could have been. A well-liked season where, you know, where it wasn't, you know, blatantly racist or, you know, or yeah.
Is does this give you hope for the future of the show? Because I know when I saw your season, I kind of hit this wall of like, do I just not like this show anymore? Like, is this just a moment that I'm having where it's like this thing that I thought I really loved, like all the holes are starting to poke through and I'm seeing the flaws yeah. in the system and maybe I just don't like it anymore. But now, and they had All Stars, which didn't help the case really at all. And now I'm like, oh, like I'm having this kind of like, oh, maybe the show is going to just like totally take a new direction. Are you feeling that way at all?
I have the hope that it will. The thing is it's just the climate of our nation right now, right? So I get what you're saying. I think I had that feeling. I mean, I started watching in season 10, and I think the moment that you're talking about happened to me on for season 15. Mm-hmm. So it was just like, oh, this is a great season. This is a great season. This is an amazing season. And I had just gotten off of 14, and that was a Janelle season and a coach's season. And it was just like, this is amazing. And then you go into 15 and I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, is this girl seriously clapping at the, you know?
Oh my gosh.
You know, so I think that was, and like the anger and the, how is this shit even on TV? And yeah. I don't even want to watch this anymore. And this is, you know, and it was really bad. But then, you know, it started little by little to get better. And then, you know, then 20 was just like this amazing season, which a lot of people, you know, would put down as one of the best as well, you know, one of the at least, you know, top, you know, top six or seven, you know, of the yeah. of the series. And then you have us, you know, which was like the downfall again, you know, and it just really sucked. But you know, it goes up. And so I'm hoping that for this next one, the casting directors are amazing, you know, and I'm so really hoping that I have faith. I have faith that it will get better. Yeah. And, you know, they've implemented a lot of things that they didn't implement in our season, you know, I mean, even with sensitivity training, which is something that I was told was implemented and that they were all, you know, they were pretty much all had this sensitivity training. So it's, I think we'll have a good one, but I honestly don't think it's going to be 40. I don't think it's going to be 24. I think probably 25. I think 24 is still going to be learning now that people are aware that there's enough people for other alliances to happen.
Yeah,
you know, now it's going to, it might get a little messy maybe.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
24, yeah. Where people might think that these alliances exist and it's still going to be considered about race and it's still going to be considered about things other than, you know, just culturally, you know, connecting.
Yeah.
But I think for 20, I think for maybe 25, that might, you know, dissipate and
yeah. we might see
more gameplay, even though gameplay in 23 was so great.
I know. So good. It was such a good one. I'm still just like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. Like, I can't believe that this happened and that, I don't know. It's just wild to me. But so exciting. Well, thank you so much for your time. Like, I know, again, you have so much going on, so I really appreciate you taking the time. On the Block is a production of Yes Studios.
Our music is by Harrison Amer. Our executive producer and host is Madison McGee.
Our producer and co-host is AJ Christensen. And our associate producer is Emily Jacques.